Welcome to The Product Management. We bring to you industry experts to share their valuable insights via this podcast on various topics related to product management. These include marketing, sales, development, growth, product fit, and many more. For latest updates, please subscribe to theproductmanagement.com.
I'm your host, Sean Ilangovan. We are back again with an interesting episode of the Product Management Podcast on how the Avengers, especially Captain America, was involved in generating 1,000 plus organic leads from Quora, communities, webinars, even campaigns and content. Not just that, our captain specializes in helping you mint dollars and he can generate leads out of thin air. Let's ask him how. I have with me the Captain America, also known as the marketing manager of WhatFix, Gokul Suresh. Gokul, it's great to be talking to you. I firmly believe that I and our audience are going to take home a lot of value from this interaction.
Thanks, Sean. You know, it's great to join in for the podcast. It was a bit too elaborate for that, initial description of mine. But yeah, I mean, really gracious. Thank you.
Great. Gokul, what does marketing mean to you personally or professionally?
Yeah, that's a great starting point, Sean. I've been doing a lot of webinars and podcasts and interviews lately. And this is actually a welcome change, in fact, to be a guest instead of a host in a podcast. And I don't know whether I should be dubbed as a captain of the marketing initiatives at WhatFix, but well, if you think I'm worthy, I don't mind holding that hammer of glory, like pun intended. Right, so yeah, a bit about me to the listeners. I'm Gokul Suresh. I have been with WhatFix for about 5 years now, prior to which I was with an edutech company. I joined in as the first marketer of WhatFix, and now we are about 170 people strong. In fact, we just expanded to a new place where we can accommodate twice the size of what we are now. And so, yes, that means a lot of hiring at WhatFix. And to be honest, it has been a fantastic journey so far. Okay, so at WhatFix, I handle inbound growth marketing and field marketing, specifically for all the events that we do virtually and physically across the globe. My team and I are pretty much responsible to keep the sales team on their toes with loads of opportunities coming their way through different inbound channels and through internal events like webinars, podcasts, interviews, and even external events that we conduct for our target personas, specifically across the US, UK, ANZ, and the rest of the world. So considering all that, I think the question you just asked me is just perfect. In fact, I'd like to go back and tell you my journey so far. I started as a content marketer, and over the years, I've donned a lot of hats, and all thanks to joining in early with WhatFix, right? It's as a startup. And even though my title said content marketer, I worked on everything from product marketing to social media to PR to field marketing activities with WhatFix. And after like almost 5 years at WhatFix, there's one thing that I love that is making order out of chaos. And that's the drive that I've always had. And another thing is in marketing that you get to do new things every day. And there is no day that is similar, or maybe same rather. And when you see that your efforts are widely visible, you get that kick as well. So yeah, that's what marketing is for me, you know, making order out of chaos.
Great. So Gokul, your passion is contagious. I am inspired too. So now that we are moving towards 2020, which is an important year for global business and economy, how competitive do you think is the marketing industry at this era?
Yeah, so I'm an engineer by pedigree. And looking back, I don't regret at all moving to marketing. In fact, I'm enjoying every moment of it. And that's actually the beauty of marketing. You don't always need a higher degree to get into marketing. And if you're passionate, you have the right mindset, and you nurture curiosity, then marketing is just for you. And I believe everyone is creative, and everyone keeps doing some sort of the marketing or the other. And the biggest factor for that is skill set, and that's where the whole competitiveness comes, right? The skill set is that factor that sets every marketer aside, right, distinctly. And marketing is hugely competitive. You already know that. And if you have the right skill set, then you can make a small dent in the big world. And that is something you nurture over time with a lot of hard work and, you know, dedication. So if you want to set yourself apart, first understand what you're good at, then work really hard to make it better. And then once you're confident on that piece, move on to the next part. So yeah, don't be a jack of all trades. Instead, be a king of one. Then maybe expand your kingdom one by one. So that's how a true marketer should be.
Very well said. So now that we have talked about skill set and being a master of few, So what are the few skills that a marketer must possess in 2019?
No matter what year it is, the most important skill that a marketer should always possess is curiosity. If you're curious, then you will figure out new ways to do marketing, be it deep diving into content marketing, finding new channels, and even trying out new experiments. Apart from that, one thing that I keep telling my team is to tone their way of articulating their thoughts. And that is even while speaking or writing. And the second thing, be more proactive. Many things in marketing is time bound. So being proactive and doing them upfront is something that is always fruitful.
Awesome. So let's talk about WhatFix. And I'm a live witness of, the multiple folds of growth that WhatFix has achieved in the last few years. And you were the first marketer of WhatFix. How was your first 60 days at WhatFix? What were the challenges that you faced, and share some memorable experiences with us?
Sure. So there's this phrase, right? Necessity is the mother of all inventions. But for us at WhatFix, it was more like visibility was the mother of unboxing new growth channels, right? So when I started with WhatFix, we barely had any inbound channels. It was a garage startup. It is as big as this room that we are sitting over here right now, right? The co-founders of WhatFix, Khadim Bhatti and Vara Kumar, had prior experience in building an SEO tool together. So that's where they pivoted to WhatFix, seeing the gap in the industry for digital adoption softwares. So with that background, they made sure that there was a basic SEO done for the website, the blog, and then at that point of time, the infrastructure of the product was the primary agenda. So marketing was on a back burner. And well, to be honest, that's exactly where I came in. And we were still figuring out how to market a niche product like WhatFix. And it's pretty nascent, but with time and banking on the right channels, we now have that visibility that we need, the brand awareness and a great budding name amongst our target audience. In fact, Gartner recently acknowledged and recognized digital adoption solution in the report which features WhatFix, right? So that's how the journey with WhatFix has been. And I wouldn't put there as challenges, right? So rather I would say that we had to set up the entire marketing from scratch. So it was moreover building the foundation and building it piece by piece. And there were many things that was involved in that. So initial stages, it was all about identifying what works to get that visibility. Mm-hmm. We wanted to experiment with blogs. We wanted to experiment with social media. We just wanted to get the people to understand that there is something called digital adoption solution that can help them.
Got it.
That they can help, it can actually help them do their tasks more efficiently, mm-hmm. increase the productivity. So we were experimenting with multiple channels on a consistent basis.
Okay.
So I wouldn't term it as challenges. Okay. I would term all of it as an experiments.
Okay.
And many of those experiments actually bore fruit, and that's why we are where we are right now.
Great. So Gokul, you have built a strong team in the past few years. And right now, how does a day in life of Gokul Suresh look like?
So it's super chaotic, to be honest. I tell my junior folks that, I'm not a person to, you don't look at me for, sticking with a time, right? I don't have a 9-to-5 job. I don't have a, 10-to-8 job either, right? I work towards the night because we have a lot of US customers and US prospects that we coordinate with. Sometimes it's early because we have Australian customers there. So it all depends. Every day is different in a way, right? It depends upon what all activities is happening. If there are events happening, then, based on the time zone or based on the locality of the event, we have to work accordingly. There are a few things which are consistent, right? I do a lot of writing. So mm-hmm. I prefer to write early in the morning.
Oh,
right. So
that's interesting.
Yeah. So the first thing I come into the office, possibly the first thing I look at is the data.
Okay.
And then right after that, I get into the writing bit.
Okay.
So I have my headphones. I just put it in. I go into my zone. I do my writing or whatever any copywriting is required for any pages or, any questionnaire, anything which is there for the next 2 hours before lunch. And then after that, I get into the meetings, like back-to-back meetings, which happens till the evening, and then it just goes with the flow.
Got it. So it's interesting to see that, you know, in the first 2 hours you create content while everyone else just responds to their emails, right? Clearing off their inbox, which is an interesting one. Now, I think it's time for us to, you know, demystify the secret sauce of your success, and our audience are waiting for it. So to begin with, tell me how you even discover and unbox new growth channels for inbound marketing.
Yeah, so I just want to circle back on the email bit, right? I like being, you know, I'm a kind of guy who actually replies to email really quickly.
Okay.
Right, so I don't keep it for a lot later. You might get emails from me at night or early in the morning, or, you know, that is how I have worked so far. I know it's not completely, let's say, something which you should sort for, but it is how I work, right, in the end. Okay, so about unboxing new growth channels. First things first, you need to understand your target audience. And well, that's the basic, right? In fact, dig in as much as you can about your target audience, create a persona map, find out everything about them, starting from their basic demographic details, behaviors, goals, pain points, and even buying patterns, right? And another important aspect that you should know is whether they are on social media or not. I mean, they might be active on LinkedIn, Twitter, or Facebook. So if yes, where do they hang out online, and what do they talk about, or what kind of content do they consume? So pretty much use these social channels to be a fly on the wall of your prospects, right? So that's definitely a lot of groundwork initially.
Mm-hmm.
But it adds up eventually.
Got it.
Right, so once your persona is mapped, the next step is to identify the right channels.
True.
And of course, you should work on reeling them in, pretty much like baiting your audience with great content, your website or blog.
Mm-hmm.
Ultimately, it's about identifying the channels based on the interest of the target audience, which is the most important factor. So let me put it this way. So growth channel spectrums that we have is pretty wide, to be honest, and it's growing. And we keep an open eye to figure out where there are conversations about our product or our use cases, or those pain points in social media, in community forums like, let's say, Q&A websites like Quora, then, you know, specific enterprise community forums, blogs, podcasts, webinars, and even review websites like G2 Crowd, Captera,
yes.
GetApp, and the other websites of Gartner.
Okay. So talking about understanding buyer persona, so what are the things that you do to understand the culture fit of, you know, different geographies? So how do you understand your customers from USA, and customers vary from different geographies, right? People in USA might like something and people in UK might like something different. So how does your research help you in understanding the customer fit, or the culture fit, I would call it?
So culture fit wise, yeah, definitely. It depends completely from region to region, as in, I've always found out that the people in US are more, forthcoming and proactive. They keep pummeling you for mm-hmm. getting stuff done,
correct.
Right? They don't work long hours like we do sometimes. I mean, mm-hmm. there are people who do, but, you know, like, for example, I can take our SVP sales, Wispy Dever,
mm-hmm.
right? So I've seen him come to our US office at 6 a.m. in the morning.
Okay.
And he sometimes stays, for 12 hours.
Oh,
right.
Okay.
And he's an exception, but the way he works, whatever time he takes, he's just productive on that.
Okay.
Right. It's his calendar will be full of meetings and, whatever things that he's doing, he wants to make each and every moment productive. Right. So I think that is something which sets apart people from India as well.
Mm-hmm.
We have a lot of tea breaks and we have lunch breaks.
Chai breaks, yeah.
Exactly. So there are so many breaks that we have, chai breaks, smoke breaks. And we say that we work for 12 hours, in which, let's say, 4 or 5 hours is just about breaks. Right. So that is something which actually distinctly sets these people apart.
Okay.
Right. Even in UK, that is something which is much popular, as in people work timely.
Mm-hmm.
Hours are comparatively less
okay.
than US.
Okay.
Right. And they are much more productive in those hours.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe, you know, they have longer days, so that also helps.
Understood.
Right. They would want to get that daylight there.
Correct.
Right. So it's all about understanding the nature of these people.
Mm-hmm.
And then again, communicating accordingly.
Got it.
Right. I found people from UK and Europe much more friendly,
uh-huh.
right? I mean, the people I talked to, for the last month, I've been discussing World Cup with them.
Okay.
And now just yesterday, I got on a call with another of one of my acquaintances from UK. And we were talking about how hot UK is right now. I mean, how hot London is right now. Like, dude, that is the normal temperature for us in India. Right, so that's how it is. They're much more friendly.
Great.
US is much more professional, right? So yeah.
Perfect. It is always great to work with different geographies. You know, being in India and then getting to know different cultures. So now that being spoken, how much time does it take for you to master a new marketing channel?
So that totally depends on the channel. Mastering a new marketing channel, as in it's all about the necessity there, right? What do you want to do with these channels? If you want to, if you want to make a mark over there or be established as a thought leader there, then you have to invest a lot of time there. And one thing that you will see for any marketing channels out there is people don't like marketers. Right. So any community you take,
okay.
Say for example, take Reddit. So you go to any subreddit,
okay.
There are moderators who say the first thing,
correct.
No plugging. You don't plug anything over there. You don't market any content over there. So those are places where you give them knowledge, you know,
okay.
Share knowledge, share experiences, and maybe, you know, once in a while plug something, but, it's all about giving value.
Correct.
Right. So for any channel, mastering is a long process. Giving value and establishing yourself as a thought leader there, that is the most important thing.
Agreed.
Right? I mean, do you have any channels in mind which I should elaborate on?
Probably any close groups or, you know, business-to-business groups where you have explored something or experimented.
Perfect. I think, that's actually a perfect question. So we've been experimenting with a lot of enterprise forums,
mm-hmm.
right? So for example, we have a lot of customers who are using Salesforce, and Salesforce has a community which is about 4 million people.
Okay.
Right. So within the community, they have user groups. They have a lot of Q&A
mm-hmm.
that they do.
Yeah, obviously.
Right. So these places, again, for us to establish ourselves as a thought leader there, we need to keep giving value.
Correct.
So we keep engaging with these users who are asking questions. Who's looking for more information on specific things.
Mm-hmm.
When we do have the knowledge, then, you know, just give it out. And that eventually, the building that brand value over there eventually actually takes us forward and gets more people recognize the brand.
Understood.
Right. So, you know, our CEO actually says, I mean, you don't have to go and push WhatFix everywhere. Push your brand
right.
over there. Right. The whole WhatFix brand will grow alongside with you.
Correct.
Right, so that's how it works with these close groups.
Understood.
Right, and over there, obviously, pain points are in plenty.
Okay.
Right, be it Salesforce, be it Oracle, be it Microsoft, Workday, any of these, they all have these close groups, which is predominant. And I don't think they actively use these LinkedIn groups or, you know, the other channels that
mm-hmm.
for this consistent communication. But these groups, even since it's private, they have a sense of, okay, fine, I will get these answers over there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So
okay.
They're much more open there as well.
Okay.
So
okay.
Over time, you build that credibility and people know you as, a thought leader there. Salesforce has something called MVP,
mm-hmm.
right? Even Oracle has MVP and Microsoft has MVP
correct.
Programs, right? So these are creating the thought leadership over there. And that eventually, portrays you as a master of the channel as well.
Understood.
Right. But yeah, there's no true mastery there anyway.
Got it. So ultimately it boils down to this saying which says, pay your dues first and then earn your interest.
Yeah, definitely.
So you give the
definitely.
Value first and then you take back whatever.
I think that's a fundamental thing about marketing as well. People should understand that a lot.
Correct. So how do you experiment with new marketing channels? Is it an incremental experimentation or do you start generating content for all the channels and see what's working for you?
So just continuing on the topic that we discussed earlier, right?
Mm-hmm.
So how we discovered the whole Salesforce community, right? So once we started seeing that, you know, Salesforce has a lot of traction for us, we started experimenting with, you know, few queries here and there, right? The initial ones were plugs.
Okay.
Right? Just because we wanted to understand whether this is a channel which has a lot of interaction,
mm-hmm.
which has a lot of traffic which comes in.
Okay.
Right. So so initial web plugs just as a test. Obviously, there are moderators over there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a marketer, you tend to get banned a lot of times when you have to experiment. You have to experiment. So, you know, I've done that for many channels. Like, let's say Salesforce Community is one. Then Quora is another one. Then Stack Exchange.
Huh.
You know, there are these particular specific groups for target personas. Like, we have product managers as one of our target persona.
Okay.
There is something called roadmap.com,
mm-hmm.
right? So there are so many different channels where these communication is happening.
Okay.
Right. And these are ideally growth channels which you can, you know, on top of the regular growth channels, like, let's say, content, social media, and all of those. These are something which you can top up.
Okay.
Right. And their experimentation, obviously, you need to understand whether the channel works first.
Mm-hmm.
If it does, invest a lot more on that.
Okay.
So that's what we did with Quora. Quora mm-hmm. is actually something that keeps on giving a lot of leads for us,
mm-hmm.
right? And initially, we started off with the bottom funnel, right? Wherein we started writing bottom funnel answers for questions, and you know, that started giving a continuous flow. And then we invested a lot more time in that. We finished off all the bottom funnel answers,
okay.
right? For the product, for the use case, for the competitors, all of that, right? And that, you know, that gives an average of, let's say, 100 leads. Just those bottom funnel questions gives 100 leads per month for us.
Okay.
Right?
Perfect.
And then you expand more with the middle funnel and top funnel where you're creating authority.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's how it works. And, you know, you keep observing it. You
mm-hmm.
keep analyzing what comes from it. Right? So time to time, I think, we measure monthly growth of
okay.
these channels.
Okay.
What all is working? What all is ranking?
Mm-hmm.
Are there any, you know, changes in their positions? Right. All of this is important there.
Correct.
Right. And obviously, you need to have proper tracking metrics for anything that you put there. You could push them directly to a content piece rather than, you know, going to the website, because you're giving more value there.
Correct.
And ultimately, from there, you can maybe convert them into your website as a lead.
Definitely. So, like you say, anything that cannot be measured cannot have a growth. So,
yep.
tracking is really important for any channels that you work with.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So, the other important thing that I wanted to discuss with you is, you know, it's really important to create things that matter. How do you pave the path to creating legacy authority content that matters and generate leads?
Okay, great question. So we are in a world where you have everything just a Google away, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. There's plenty of content that really adds value to what you seek, and there's plenty which is just like a, you know, buffer content,
yeah.
right? So the first thing that I would say about creating great content is to make sure that it adds value. It has to add value, whatever it is.
Okay.
Right? If it's a clickbait or something that leads to a form without much explanation, then it's a turn down, honestly. I mean, as a marketer, for me also, that's a big turn on.
Agreed.
Right? So, if you give your, if you make sure that your content gives the readers a meaningful explanation for what they're seeking, and that's when you hit the right spot. And yes, even when you're creating great content, there's a possibility that it could be diluted or not reach your target audience.
Mm-hmm.
Right? For this, you should have to, I mean, you have to make sure that it's, you know, it's written with SEO in mind.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
yeah.
there are two types of article which people write. One is, you know, with social media in mind, which is more, you know, viral content, or, you know, something which can actually build the whole community interest there.
Okay.
And the other one, which is legacy and evergreen, as you asked, right? That is with SEO in mind.
Okay.
Right? So in, while momentous content is great, and definitely, if it goes viral, you're going to make a lot of impressions from it for a brief while.
Okay.
Right after that, it's dead. Right, unless it works again. Like recently, you know, you saw that Face App actually came
yeah,
back.
Yeah, which
right?
is
it went viral, and it happened because there was some content created by few influencers,
uh-huh.
which got picked up by a few celebrities.
Correct.
And then, you know, it just blasted.
True. The bottle
right.
challenge again.
Yeah.
The bottle cap challenge.
Exactly. Right?
Jason
so
Statham started it. Yeah.
These things came in back because there was new content created there.
Okay.
Right. And again, now it's gone.
yeah.
I don't see these old people anymore. right. So, so in case of content which is written, SEO is definitely key to that, right? That actually stays for longer time. So, yeah, you have to make sure your content is ranked for the keywords that your consumers are searching, right? And you could use tools like Google Keyword Planner, SEMrush, mm-hmm. or, you know, my personal favorite is Ahrefs.
Okay.
Ahrefs that I use on a regular basis. And these tools will give you a complete idea of whether or not a keyword that you're writing on will rank on search engine. It gives you a keyword difficulty. It gives you how many people has written on that particular keyword,
mm-hmm.
right? Obviously, that's one other habit you can have is you have a keyword in mind, Google it.
Okay.
See what all authority content is written on that,
uh-huh.
right? And, you know, take it from there. So also another thing which you have to keep in mind is the LSIs, the latent semantic indexes. So that these are the other keywords which is part of the focus keyword.
Okay.
Right. And so these supporting keywords are also potentially, they also can potentially rank,
mm-hmm.
right? So if you're writing something about digital adoption solutions,
okay.
the possibility that, you know, if you have the right kind of LSIs, you could also rank for digital adoption platforms or digital adoption software.
Perfect.
Right. So it's a mixture. And obviously the length and the authority is something that matters there as well.
Mm-hmm.
So I would start with segregating your content into three parts of your marketing funnel.
Okay.
I mean, as I mentioned, it's the same with Quora earlier, right? You should have a bottom funnel, which is basically the content written in and around your product, about your brand,
mm-hmm.
Then about use cases, then even competitor content that actually works great, right? So then you should be capturing all the immediate keywords with your content. Go for long form content, which is in depth, which gives a lot of value.
Okay.
In Google, obviously the feature snippet is something which people want, right? So if you're going with, let's say, a checklist wherein you have multiple pointers, the likelihood mm-hmm. of that ranking is higher.
Correct.
Right. But again, that also works with the authority of the content. Another thing I would say is, watch out for Google's EAT markers.
Okay.
I mean, EAT markers specifically is basically expertise, authoritativeness, and trustworthiness. Right. So Google had this released last year, I think, August something.
Okay.
Right. 2018 August.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of content actually just went down. I mean, do you see BuzzFeed often now?
Not really.
Yeah. That's actually because of EAT markers. And, you know, plenty of content which was ranking, but it wasn't giving that trustworthiness or authoritativeness or, you know, expertise.
Uh-huh.
Just got pushed out by Google because of these EAT markers once they launched that algorithm.
Okay.
Right. So make sure that the expertise is there for your blog or website, that, you know, your blog or website actually has its subject matter expertise,
mm-hmm.
right? Then authoritativeness is basically the credibility of the website, right? Which would be better in time with more backlinks, outside reviews, testimonials, etc. And trustworthiness is basically whether your site is trustworthy or not. Is it secure, right? Security is another thing. I mean, you go for HTTPS, not HTTP anymore, right? So if you have all of that in place alongside with the, you know, great content, then definitely you can hit the ball right out of the park.
Perfect. So, what is your suggestion to marketing teams who are lean on marketing budget?
I think, with our conversation so far, I didn't mention anything about spending on ads, right? Right.
Sure.
I mean, it's mostly the free channels that I'm speaking about. And I mean, that's where you can, you have a lot of space to experiment. The only thing which is spent there, which is, time is money. Right.
True.
So that is a main factor there. And so the bottom funnel content, which I mentioned, that is something which easily you can pick up. Right. Even if you're lean on marketing budget, that doesn't matter. You just have to invest there. Bottom funnel keywords is something that you capture.
Okay.
Same thing. You can do the same thing on social media. Right. Search for people talking about this particular topics,
okay.
which is about your brand, about your use cases,
mm-hmm.
right? Start an interaction over there.
Okay.
That is a great touch point. I mean,
definitely.
If people are talking there, then obviously they have an issue. They
Correct.
Have a pain point which they want some solutions for.
Yeah.
Right. So social media, content, all these Quora or other forums, you could also start something like a webinar or podcast. That is something which, again, you don't have to spend much. But organically, as you build great content, that will get the better reach, right? So focus on creating better content.
Understood.
And, make sure that... So I generally tell it to my team. So 50% is creating content. 50% is marketing it.
True.
Right. So if you're doing the first 50% without the second 50% in mind, it's
then.
Just going to be lost there. So there is this 80-20 rule which is there, right?
Correct.
So 20% of your content is what generates maximum traffic. 80% is just there.
Yeah.
You write it, it's not giving any value. And that's pretty much for any website or any blog which is there. So if you want it to keep giving, then you have to put these efforts and you have to have these foundation in place.
Okay.
Otherwise, yeah, ultimately all your effort goes to waste and, you know, on your reviews.
That's true.
Yeah. You don't have the numbers to show for it, right? Yeah.
True. So Gokul, till now we have been talking about all the best practices and mm-hmm. I definitely believe that my audience would have got, you know, a good chunk of value that they'll have to, you know, implement in their day-to-day marketing jobs to achieve their success rate. Now, there are, you know, different marketing apps out there and tools out there. What are the tools that you recommend to our, you know, audiences to follow? And what are the apps that you like in, you know, you have liked in the last couple of years as a marketer?
Okay, so there are too many apps that I've been using. So pinpointing on that may be a little bit difficult, but I can definitely share the ones that we're using right now in our technology stack. So for marketing automation, we have Pardot.
Mm-hmm.
So we have Salesforce as a CRM, so we link it up with Pardot, and that works really great.
Okay.
So previously, I've used MailChimp and Campaign Monitor. They are great too,
mm-hmm.
right? I really like MailChimp, you know, it, because of the ease of use. And obviously, when you once you send a campaign, the MailChimp comes and gives you a high five. That's something which I mean, that's really nice as well, right? Then, for social media, I would say Buffer or Hootsuite,
mm-hmm.
both are great.
Okay.
These are for again scheduling social media. All these posts which is there, right? For real time, I go for TweetDeck.
Mm-hmm.
For Twitter particularly, this is especially useful when it comes to an event, right? So any event or conference, they would have a hashtag,
correct?
Right, and they would have a lot of content created around that.
True.
So it becomes very useful to keep in track of it in real time and engage with the right kind of people there.
Okay.
Right. Then I mentioned for keywords, Ahrefs or Google Keyword Planner. Both give a lot of detailed information on keywords, and that is something to identify what you should be focusing on.
Okay.
Then for our blogs, we have Sumo.com.
Okay.
So Sumo.com is used to, let's say, show different pop-ups and subscribe pop-ups, all different kinds of pop-ups that we have.
Okay.
Sumo drives it, and we have even heat maps in Sumo,
mm-hmm.
right? So Sumo is actually great. I've also previously used Crazy Egg for heat maps. That's also pretty great. Then the ones which I use maximum is Google Docs.
Okay.
There's no parallel to that. I mean, I practically live on Docs and Sheets and Slides occasionally. But yeah, so that is something which I would again say, instead, like we don't have in WattFix, we don't have physical copies on our laptops. Everything is on the cloud.
Okay.
Right. Everything's on a doc. So that is something which is very useful as well for collaboration as well. Oh, yeah. Collaboration sense, I would go for Asana. Again.
Asana. Yeah.
Asana is great for collaboration.
There's
one more tool which I would say is Sorted. Sortd.
Okay.
So this is something which I've been using on my Gmail.
Mm-hmm.
And it helps me plan out better, right?
Okay.
It's a productivity tool in a way.
Okay.
Right. It it helps me create my task list and priority tasks and the regular tasks, all of that.
Understood.
I can differentiate it accordingly. That's one thing which I've recently started using, and yeah, I think good enough, right?
Perfect. Yeah, that's a good list of tools that anyone can use. So can you give me a checklist for organizing webinars or interviews and making them successful repeatedly?
Sure. So so for webinars and interviews, it's all about what is the purpose there, right? First thing, you need to define the purpose. Why are you actually conducting a webinar,
mm-hmm.
right? And the second thing is, what is the target audience you are going for, right? It has to be laser focused. Otherwise, it won't hit the spot. You don't have, if you do a webinar and expect, the whole lot of your audience to come for it, that's not going to work at all.
Definitely.
Right.
Not.
Definitely. You can do something which is much more specific. So at WattFix, we have a couple of different series which is going on, right? We have a Salesforce adoption webinar,
mm-hmm.
which is focused to Salesforce admins, VP sales,
okay.
People who are, very much focused about increasing adoption on Salesforce.
Okay.
Right. So in this, we start with, the content that is much more coherent to them, much more interesting to them.
Mm-hmm.
And we tie up with good guests. okay. who are influencers in the same domain. Mm-hmm. Right. So that actually adds a lot more value. If a checklist wise, okay, I'm not going 1, 2, 3. I'm just going with the flow. But so you get a good guest who is knowledgeable, who knows in depth about what we're going to talk about.
Okay.
Right. Then collaborate with them.
True.
Right. That is something which adds a lot of value. Even for marketing, that helps a lot because you are using a brand there. Mm-hmm. Right. So that goes on. And the next thing about creating content again, it should be something which is easy to consume.
Mm-hmm. Right? Definitely. Yeah.
And people don't want salesy content. Right, that's another big factor.
It's annoying sometimes.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So you want to give value there,
true.
Right? So you talk about the value. You go with in the entirety of the webinar, you talk about the problem at hand. So picking that topic mm-hmm. is very useful. If you're picking that pain point and figuring out different ways to tackle it, mm-hmm. and over there, if one of the ways is what a product does. And you're plugging it subtly. That works out really great.
Perfect.
Right. So it's a combination again. Right. And then the marketing bit. I think the most important bit of a successful webinar is getting the registrants.
Hmm.
Right. So I can tie it up with what I spoke earlier as well. You should know where your prospects are.
Correct.
Right. You need to be a fly on the wall. I mean, is there a problem there? Okay, this is the place where I could market it. Right. So it could be social media. It could be communities. For Salesforce particularly, our SFDC community, the Salesforce community, is mm-hmm. a huge source of leads for us. I mean, registrations for us. Because there are people who are actually looking for the same kind of content.
True.
And they would rather, listen to a webinar rather than read through 10, 15
articles.
Yeah. Right. So that is another bit. So marketing, once you have it streamlined, we have emails going on. We have some sort of ad campaigns, which is there, which is focused to the people, this particular target audience,
mm-hmm.
right? Then we have the social media post, which is there, churning out continuously. I do some sort of automation as well on social media messaging.
Okay.
Right. So that also helps sometimes.
So more of conversational marketing.
Yes, yes, okay. Definitely. A lot of conversational marketing over there because you need that context, right?
Correct.
Right. Otherwise, it doesn't hit the right spot. And then on top of that, the email marketing definitely is something which will give you a lot more there, right?
Old school.
Yeah. old school works. That's the whole thing. And recently, one another experiment that we started. So our outbound team, which is actually SDRs and BDRs, we have made them into XDRs.
Okay.
Right. There's a bit of both. There is outbound as well as inbound there.
Okay.
And they also push it to their the prospects that they're talking to.
Okay.
If they are not able to get a connect, mm-hmm. they actually ask them to go for a webinar, and this has been converting phenomenally.
Okay.
Right. That's okay. So that's a Salesforce series, or we have similar series for Oracle or Workday, and mm-hmm. a parallel series which is going on. Another thing which is bottom funnel. So these are top funnel.
Correct.
Right.
Correct.
So this is for brand building. This is for also creating that awareness about the problem at hand, which is adoption.
Hmm.
Right. And the second bit which is there, which is bottom funnel, we have expert sessions, or it's called expert session. It's basically a group demo.
Okay.
Wherein the people who are really curious about WhatFix come there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. And this involves a lot of people who are, currently in the system.
Okay.
And then new people who get to know about this, what is a digital adoption solution? If they have that question, mm-hmm. they come there. Right. So this works with a lot of remarketing ads as well.
Okay.
Right. So we have multiple channels again to get people to come for the group demo, and it's much more focused.
Okay.
And that is something which gives you a super quality, high quality leads.
Okay.
Right. Potential of converting that kind of quality.
Correct.
Right. So it's about again identifying what the topic is, what the purpose is, right?
True.
Marketing it to the right audience. Okay, you can count this as a checklist, right? Then the third bit would be, making sure that no stones are unturned in the marketing bit.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it is a timely business. So if you have to conduct a webinar 2 weeks from now, you should be marketing starting from, last week.
Correct.
Right? So that is how it works. And it goes on a continuous basis, and you get that registrations. Then work with a guest. Get a guest who is actually popular, or instead of doing it on your own with folks from your office, right? If you can get a guest who is influences better, right? So then that actually adds much more, higher value. Then finally, build that relationship,
mm-hmm.
right? Even with the guest, even with the people who are attending the webinar, you reach out to them, you talk to them about what any other queries that they have,
mm-hmm.
What is the next step? Are there anything else that you could help with? with a guest, I would say, you know, we generally give out a small gift package to them,
okay,
right? Sending like a token of appreciation, and that helps a lot as well.
So you mean build a personal connect with them?
Exactly, exactly. So that goes a long way. You take it up front because they would also be willingly sharing it on their network, and
correct,
you know, that's another thing which you can bank on, right? So ultimately, if you want to make it successful, any webinar or interview, you go for these patterns. I think I did this in a session at Hello Meets. I had actually explained the whole checklist.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, if anybody reach out to me on LinkedIn, I can definitely share the checklist.
Sure, sure. So definitely, I think you guys should reach out to him on LinkedIn. The LinkedIn URL will be shared probably in different
channels. Yeah, sure. It's linkedin.com/in/GokulSuresh. So
you got it there.
It's pretty there. Yeah.
Great. So just to digress a little, I'm going to talk to my audience now. Did you guys know what Quora stands for? The QU is basically questions. The OR is or, and A is answer. So it's question or answer. So coming back to generating leads, Gokul, can you talk about the complete process of making Quora an engine for lead generation or referral traffic?
Sure. So I think over the years, it has grown in such a phenomenal pace that there's so much of content. And it's a collaboration of things that I mentioned earlier as well. If Quora has so much of content that it keeps ranking on Google,
yeah,
right? So what do you think? I mean, the potential, the traffic that comes to Quora is mostly from Google,
correct,
right? From any search engine.
True.
Right? Quora on its own doesn't get a lot of traffic, or, you know, as a community. There are people who goes, you know, once they're in Quora, they keep checking for more. But ultimately, the traffic is from Google.
Correct.
Right. So the same thing that you apply for the content,
mm-hmm,
right, works for Quora.
Okay.
You find the right keywords and you bank on them. You write these answers for these
questions.
Right. And again, you're giving value. People in Quora are not looking for selling again. You have to make it subtle. You give value to them, and that is something which actually creates a connect over there.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So that is something which you can keep doing for bottom funnel keywords first,
mm-hmm,
then go up with mid funnel and top funnel.
Okay.
Right. And don't be restricted to just pitching your website. Right.
Okay.
Suggest ebooks, suggest your blogs, suggest
content,
your,
valuable,
you know,
content,
different types of content, and, you know, repurpose the content there.
Okay.
Right. So I have, you know, I've had content, blog post which is written, which I've repurposed in Quora in, mm-hmm, multiple parts of it.
Okay.
Right. One big article, I have used it in like 10 different answers.
Okay.
Right. So that is something which you can reuse as well.
Mm-hmm.
And again, longer the better, because ultimately it is going to be indexed with the keyword, and more people answers with the same keyword, the potential to rank is higher.
Correct.
Right. So that is one bit about, you know, how to get hands-on with Quora.
Mm-hmm.
Then the second thing in Quora is, let's say, being consistent.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You have to consistently stay on top of the answers. Otherwise, it's just going to go down.
Okay.
Right. If you can refresh the content, let's say monthly or bimonthly like that,
okay,
that will actually help a lot, because obviously there are many people who are actually getting into the same marketing, and, you know, Quora,
okay,
marketing is catching up. I mean, it's pretty much caught up with many other people.
Okay.
And you would see a lot of, you know, a lot of people just trying to get on the top as a top first answer on a Quora question.
Okay.
Right. So many answers. So Quora generally prefers, I mean, the algorithm is not open to everybody,
uh-huh,
right? And it's pretty much closed, so you can have a lot of guessing games there. But from what I know, or what has worked for us, is mainly the length of the article,
mm-hmm,
not a lot of links outside.
Okay.
Right. So we link.
No redirection. Yeah.
Yeah. No redirection to outside links, let's say to our website or something.
Okay.
I mean, very few, maybe one or two, but we link between Quora answers.
Okay.
Right. If one answer is actually giving us more value, we actually push the traffic from other answers to this answer.
Okay.
Right. That helps. Then, you know, again, going in a structured manner. So Quora also is a big fan. I mean, they love structured answers.
Okay.
Right. Same like Google, where that whole, you know, 1, 2, 3 pointers are there.
Understood.
Right. In Quora, that works really well. Again, adding more visual content to it with not video, I would say GIF or images, mm-hmm, that will actually help. Infographics also helps.
Okay.
Right. So these things matters more. upwards don't matter as much.
Okay.
To be honest, really? Upwards, you would see a lot of questions with less number of upwards, but more number of views,
mm-hmm.
right? There are plenty like that. So it's more about the credibility and the authoritativeness over there.
Okay.
Right. So combined together, this is how you actually get a question on top.
Perfect.
It's a lot of effort, and definitely you have to keep going back on it and keep refreshing that content.
Okay.
Right. So, I mean, we have dedicated people who are working on Quora.
Mm-hmm.
2-3 people are working on
nice.
Quora and content alongside.
Okay.
Right. And that is how we are maintaining the whole pace as well for, traffic and leads coming from Quora. And it keeps giving.
Okay.
Right. And you expand the footprint after that. Once you have a foothold, once you know that, okay, fine, these questions are giving good leads, you monitor them, then you expand and find more lead generation questions like that.
True.
Right. So it adds up ultimately. Yep.
Great. So Gokul, talking about Quora, I have a specific question to you. So how does Quora work? Does fresh content reach out to people a lot, or content which has been there for a while and it has got, you know, a lot of views and likes, you know, help you with generating more leads?
It depends upon the number of answers in a question,
okay.
right? If there are many answers which is already written and they have good authority, they stay on top. Fresh content is likely to stay down,
okay.
right? Because there is no trustworthiness factor there,
okay.
right? I mean, you just created the content and people are yet to see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Most likely people will see the content which is written earlier, which has been ages old right
Correct.
Now. But, you know, a lot of people have the trustworthiness. They have upvoted it. They have, read through the whole thing. I mean, Quora must also track that how much percentage of an answer you're reading or
yeah.
how much session time you're spending on a particular answer. Right. So that's another thing which is there. So fresh content is unlikely to rank on top,
mm-hmm.
but definitely with a lengthy, in-depth content, which is written with a lot of keywords and all these basic things which I just said right now, there's a possibility. But again, you have to keep monitoring it on a continuous basis.
Understood.
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thanks for the answer. So I think we have come to the end of the session. So before we wrap up, so Gokul, I would want you to leave our audience with two things. First is, how can they work generating leads and understanding the dynamics of it? What should be their go-to resource?
Okay. Resources wise, I think Google is my favorite resource. I have any question, I go for Google. And but the only problem nowadays is, you know, there's too much of content and you keep reading the same thing over and over again.
Correct.
So you don't want that. So I would rather suggest a few blogs, or let's say the things that I've read recently which really impressed me. So there was this blog by Scott Adams on Dilbert blog, right? It was called The Day You Became a Better Writer. It is just around, I think, 400 words.
Okay.
It is a brilliantly written article. It just tells you how you should actually become a better writer.
Okay.
I'm not telling anything about it. Go read it.
Sure,
right?
Sure, definitely.
Then,
I'll make a note of it.
I love Anne Handley's content in a website, and she writes great stuff. Everybody Writes is another book which she's written.
Mm-hmm.
That's also brilliant. Then there is Copy Blogger, which is again another blog for great content writers.
Okay.
Right. These are just for the content bits. For marketing bits, I generally go for the LinkedIn connections itself.
Mm-hmm.
Right. LinkedIn is my biggest source for content as of now. And I'm also using this browser extension called Zest.io.
Okay.
Right. Zest.is, I guess. Right. So,
okay.
So it gives you a curated list of all the content which is which is handpicked by the
awesome.
Team. Right. So that has also been great.
Okay.
The book which I'm reading is also interesting. Stephen King on Writing.
Okay.
That is something which has been interesting as well. Then great content wise, recently I did a session at Product Led Summit,
mm-hmm.
right? So this was a collaboration of about 50 SaaS speakers,
okay.
right? People in the SaaS industry with a lot of experience and a lot of footprint, right? So 50 different topics, 50 plus actually, 50
wonderful.
Different topics on SaaS, including activation, then acquisition, then retention, support, all of that. So I gave a session on the 5-stage framework for product adoption.
Okay.
Right. And you would see, familiar names like Steli EFT, Hiten Shah,
mm-hmm.
right. And many over there. So that is something which you can check. There's plenty of content there.
Perfect. Perfect. That's a great suggestion. A couple of suggestions that you have given us, and I hope our audience will definitely look into all of these. Now, secondly, from your personal experience, what is one thing that has helped shape you into the Avenger that you're today?
So this is something that we go by in WattFlix as well. So for me, hustling is the one thing that has shaped me into whatever marketer I am right now. Right, I have been hustling throughout my career, and I think that has become a value add for the company as well. In fact, if you come to WattFlix, and you might see hustle mode on stickers on most of the Macs over here, right? And that's a common thing which you'll see. And yeah, that was my brainchild.
Okay.
So we just started it, and it's just picked up really well. And we're just creating that culture which people want to hustle. Mm-hmm. And in my Mac, if you see, there's just hustle. There's no mode on or off, right? And that's how it works for me.
Perfect.
Right? And that's a bit.
That's awesome. Thank you so much for your time, Gokul. It was a great value, and we have got a lot of learning from you as such. So I believe that our audience would be really happy listening to this interaction. Hope to meet you again very soon in different channels and in different marketing events. Hope to learn a lot from you. Thank you so much for your time again. And stay tuned to the Product Management Podcast. And I'm your host, Sean Ilangovan. Thank you.
Yeah, so likewise, Sean, it's been great. And thanks for the great opportunity. Shout out to the whole the PM podcast. And as you guys can reach out to me on LinkedIn or Twitter at @I_M_Gokul if you have any queries or any questions on what we spoke today. Thanks again, guys.
Have a great day. Yeah. Bye-bye.